To greet each one of you in Jesus' name, Christ who is our rest. I too have been blessed by this week very much, and maybe I'll just start briefly with our ministers meeting and conference session earlier in the week in Ohio. Keith, Ernest, and I traveled out early Wednesday morning and made it out for an 8:30 start time, and we had normal sort of business activities of business type meetings you've all sat in. And then we went on into different needs and ordinations and plans of the church as it relates to our broader brotherhood. We also had some highlights. We broke up towards noon, took prayer requests, and broke up into probably 10 groups, and it just was nice to be in a building and where there's men calling out over here and over here and over here. And together, as I listened to that, I got to hear again just a little bit of what it must sound like to God, where his name's being named, reached out to, called upon, and a chorus that goes up from this earth to him. We spent some time discussing some very interesting things, some good discussions. It's always enjoyable to be able to wrestle with things of Scripture and how they apply to our lives and how we find our way forward in our society today. And there's a couple things that we have a brothers meeting coming up in about a month ago, and I think we'll add a couple of those things to that list just for information and discussion, so we can also have a privilege as brotherhood to discuss some of those items. And then we continued on into our evening service with the mission meeting, and that was just a really blessed service. We also, towards the end of our minister's meeting, we did spend a little over an hour on Bangladesh, and it was very good to have that discussion, to be asked some questions, some hard questions that only have hard answers, but to be at a place where I sense a spirit of unity, and let's press on and see what God has for us. And so that sort of sums up our minister's meeting, and our conference sessions were very beneficial, some good discussion, a lot of questions, and discussion around the subjects that were given. And I just come away from there blessed by our fellowship, and came back to just participate in some more here in Altoona for Jesus. And it was a full week, and this coming week, I don't know how to break it to you all, but it's going to be full. There's just no other way to say it. And so this morning, as I was pondering a message, turn with me to Mark 6. I do believe that I'm going to end up preaching one or two of the revival messages, and we're going to split it up. And I do have a series of revivals that I've committed to in Providence congregation here in October. So I've been thinking about some messages, and I've actually started a message twice that I haven't completed, and so I was wrestling with that some yesterday, and my wife came in last evening and saw my notes, and she said, "Oh, you're preaching something different, and you're actually pretty far along in it already." I said, "Yes, I am. I believe that this is what we need this morning. It's a message to the church. There's going to be messages of revival that are going to come. I believe that. There's going to be a message of confronting sin in our lives. I believe that. There's going to be a call and appeal for the unbeliever. We need that. But this morning, it's a message for the church." And Jesus said here in Mark 6, in verse 31, this was the verse that began to percolate in my mind, and I went and read the account again, and I was blessed by it. "And he said unto them," the disciples, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." And I've been thinking about this subject, and see, now this morning I would like us, if we can, even with our babies on our laps and whatever it might be, this morning I want to preach a message about coming apart and resting, and I would like us to think about that being our reality this morning as well. That this isn't something we're going to do later today or tonight, but I trust that this morning, that this is part of what we are enjoying as brothers and sisters as we come together, resting, apart and resting. You see, here as we read this context, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but there was a lot of things going on in Jesus' ministry. He had just come back to his own country, and they received him not, he said, and his own received him not. Those who knew him best rejected him. They said, isn't this just the carpenter's son? Don't we know his brothers and his sisters? And they did not receive him. And so because of that, he did not many mighty works there, it says, here in the beginning of Mark 6. He did not many mighty works, except that, you know, he laid his hands on a few people and they were healed. It does say that, except that he did. But he didn't do many mighty works, but he did heal some people. And Jesus, and also may I suggest his disciples, marveled at the unbelief that they saw there. These people rejected him. They could not believe him. So then, next we see in this account here in Mark 6, where he sent the disciples off two by two. And he sent them out and he said, don't take anything with you, just sandals on your feet. Don't bother with a second coat. Don't take any money with you. Go, and he sent them off. And it goes on to tell us what they did. They went out this was a walk of faith in many ways for them. They went out and they preached repentance, maybe something similar to what John did. It's a little hard to know because this was still before Christ had really fulfilled what he had come to do. And so, but they went out and they preached. It was a time they cast out devils. They healed the sick. So there was power of God that was flowing into them. And they were out on a walk of faith and in a time of testing, like they were doing things they had never done before. So that was the disciples' experience. And then the next major event we have recorded here, as we build up to this verse, is John. John the Baptist was beheaded by Herod, and his disciples, John's disciples, buried him. And they were all aware of this. And these disciples then came back to Jesus here in verse 30. Apostles, it calls them here, gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye apart and separate yourself. They had a lot to tell him. They wanted to tell him about their successes. They wanted to tell him about their failures or the rejection that they may have experienced. Or they wanted to tell him about the great things they had done. They wanted to tell him about the healing that they had done. They wanted to tell him about casting out devils that they had done. I don't know what all they were talking about, but they had much to tell Jesus. And it seems like Jesus, as he listened to them, he also wanted to not only to hear them, but he wanted to have a relation. He wanted to have a conversation. Perhaps he wanted to teach them more. Maybe they wanted to know, where is this all headed? What is this about? And are you going to establish your kingdom soon? I don't know what all questions they had or what was in their minds. I don't know. But where do we go from here? What do we do from here? And may I suggest to you that as Jesus listened to them and as he looked from one to the other, he knew that they needed to get away. He wanted to spend time with them. He wanted to spend time with them to teach, to answer the questions, to explain more fully the kingdom, what it was about. He wanted to help them to understand how it was that they did some of the things they could do. He wanted to go further with his disciples at this point in time. And he realized that they needed to get away. Now, we can look at these verses and we can spiritualize them. And there's value in that. And I don't know if I can totally keep it separated this morning, but I want to keep it simply along the lines of what Jesus was saying here. He said, we all don't even have time to eat here. There are people who are coming and going. We have very important things to talk about. Let's pull away. Let's come apart and rest. And go into a desert place and rest a while. So I just want to take this verse and look at its phrases and maybe try to understand what that means for you and I today. What does it mean? Come ye yourselves apart. Jesus knew that unless they got away from the crowd, they could not talk. Unless they pulled back from their ministry, unless they pulled away from all the demands upon them, unless they withdrew from the busyness and the going in and out, so that they could actually hear each other and share and be strengthened and be encouraged again, they needed to withdraw. They needed to step aside. They needed to come out. They needed to get away from the rejection. They needed to get away from maybe the praise. Oh, this is your, you know, and I don't know what happened when they healed someone in the village. Can you imagine? The disciples did it. People probably crowded to them. I don't doubt there was people who came to try to worship them. And Jesus was saying, look, we need to step back here a little bit. I want to teach you something here. There's some things I want to show you. I want you to understand something. And he said, let's pull apart. They needed a break. They needed to step back. Because after all, there was people who were coming. They wanted to see more. They wanted to see more of these exciting things. And he needed to draw away. And so this morning, you and I also must need to get away. We need to get away to find time alone. We need times of quiet. We need to come away from our ministry. We need to step back from serving. We need to come away from doing good deeds. We need to step back from the excitement of the praise of men and the difficulty of the rejection of men. We need to maybe even step back from our families or maybe from our wives or we need to give ourselves space. We need to find places of rest. And this morning, I'll probably get to this a little bit later as we think about what is a desert place. But this morning, it is right that we are gathered here together. It is right that this is a place of rest for the believer. It is right that it is a place of repose. It is right that it's a place of brotherhood. It's right that this morning, we don't need to face the conflict of being out there by ourselves, facing the challenges of sin, or witnessing, or giving an answer, whatever it might be. Jesus was recognizing that there was an important thing for each one of his disciples to do, and that was to come ye apart. It also says, he actually said, come ye yourselves apart. And I saw that word yourselves, and I realized that it's something that I need to choose. It's something that you and I must look out for ourselves in. It's something that we need to recognize our own need. Each person, according to their own need, must come apart. And as we choose to come apart for our own benefit, we will personally receive the blessing from that coming apart, from separating ourselves. And so what is this desert place? They were going into a desert place. And I can see some of you are struggling with staying awake this morning, and I understand why. It was a big week. But I think there was also some real weariness in the disciples. They were tired. And I want you to sort of capture that, because we're going to go into some interesting things as we close this. Because this all didn't work out for the disciples, just in case you forgot the story. It didn't work out too well. And there was some interesting things that happened, I believe, because of it. But Jesus saw this need, and he said, now I want you to come apart. We need to get out of here. We need to leave here. And so he said, go get in a boat. And they went up across the lake, the Sea of Galilee, up towards Bethsaida, which if you'll, as I read it, I didn't go study the geography real long myself, but other writers who have dug into it said it was basically up at the top of the Sea of Galilee where the Jordan River empties into it. And there was a wilderness area there. There was a place for them where there wasn't people for them to get away. And he said, go ahead, get in a boat, and head north. Go on up there. And it was an area that was empty of those. And Jesus went with them. It was empty of those who were seeking them, and it was full of God's creation. It was full of God. It was a place where they could get away and repose and rest and relax and be taught of Christ and just be at a place where God could be found. And so where are these desert places today? Can they be found in this city? Can they be found here? I believe they are. I've already suggested that this morning is one of those places. And I want to say, too, that as a culture, we have created more controlled spaces than almost any culture in the past. We have a place to get away. We have enough of real estate around us in some cases. In other cases, we have a house that's big enough. And normally when we close our doors behind us in the evening, we don't really expect them to be opened up, people coming in and out at will. That's not the case. It's not our culture. It's not the way it works. We have a lot of controlled space in our lives. I'm so impressed with that. As I've had the experience of being other culture, one of the biggest differences is how we control our space. So does that make it a desert place? I don't think so. We have control. We have created what Christ was looking for, many places in our lives. See, Jesus really didn't have a place to call his own. He couldn't say to the disciples, head on over to the mission house and get in behind the courtyard fence and let's close it up, let's lock the place up, and let's spend 2 or 3 days. I'm not saying that's wrong. What Jesus was saying, that's what he wanted to do here. We're going to go north, we're going to go out in some of my creation, and we're going to spend some time just us. We're going to pray together, we're going to eat together, we're going to talk together, we're going to be encouraged together, and I'm going to teach you some things you don't understand yet. That's what Jesus wanted to do. And it was so important. He knew the disciples needed it, and he wanted that opportunity. So I believe this morning, this assembly of the saints, this gathering together, is a place of rest. It's a place of repose. Praise God for that. It's a place of nourishment. It's a place of encouragement. It's a place where we leave from strengthened. If that's not the case, brothers and sisters, then we need a revival here. We need, maybe, but as together, we should be discouraged, encouraged. And this is what God wants for us. It is. Our own quiet place in our home can be a desert place. We need that quiet place. And I will tell you that it is true that we're just fleshly and human enough that one of the blessings, I'm jumping around here, but one of the blessings of being involved as a brotherhood. You see, we don't have a church fellowship created here where basically you arrive on a Sunday morning and there's some special people who do the singing over here, and there's one man who's been teaching Sunday school for the last 40 years, teaches your Sunday school, and then the preacher gets up and says his yay and amens, and off you go, and that was your. But rather, by engaging and understanding that there is a ministry that we're all called to, and there's responsibilities that are shared in the brotherhood, it helps us to find, it helps us to recognize how much we need that quiet place at home. Because I'll admit to you, whenever I don't have the responsibility and the weight of preparing a sermon, it is easy for me not to spend the time. There is something about needing to wrestle hard, needing a message from God that forces you into a quiet place, into a place of meditation, into a place of prayer, and then to experience the blessing of God saying, this is what it is. This is what I would like to teach you. This is what I think that you need to not today. And those kinds of things are a blessed experience that come from this quiet place. And this morning, brothers and sisters, in our world, each one of us needs that, not just the men, but our sisters as well. And there needs to be those times when we just know that we need to pray. We need to get on our knees. And we feel that constraint. We just feel that burden, and it drives us to our knees. Those are all parts of this desert place, a place to meet God on our knees, quiet time to meet him in meditation and in the Word. Some of you, I hear you talk about your hunting experiences it helps me to understand why it's special to you when you talk about that it is a time of quietness. It does become a desert place for you. And you experience time with God early in the morning there as the sun rises, as it opens up the forest around you, and as you sit there and as you meditate upon our God and what he's created. And as you are ministered to in that, that can be a quiet place. It can be a place, a desert place. You see, the desert place that Jesus was talking about was not just some barren, empty place, but it was a place where God can fill us and little is taken from us. See, there was a lot. You know, Jesus, when he was walking and that woman reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and he said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "What are you talking about? I mean, we're in this press, we're in this crowd, and why are you asking who touched you?" And he said, "Well, I can feel that something was taken out of me." And I have to believe this morning, today, if our work in this past week was of any value, then something was taken out of us. And as the disciples came back, something had been taken out of them. And Jesus said, "Now come apart. You need to rest. You need some time." And we're not going to go look at this, but we see this in the life of Christ time and time again, when as he ministered, and Brother Ernest already touched on it, he spent all night in prayer. Why? Numerous times in Scripture, why was that? It was because he needed that desert place. He needed that quiet place in his life. Do we see the value of this place in our lives? Well, Jesus went on to say, "Come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while." Jesus wanted them to rest. We know those verses so well. We said them numerous times throughout this week. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We believe this morning, we understand that our rest is in Christ. But this time, Jesus was showing them and us that we need to get to a place of physical rest to be restored. He wanted to take them to a restful environment so that he could teach them more about his rest. And that's what God needs to do for you and I. He desires that this morning, that our quiet place, that our place, our desert place, would be one where we discover more of the rest of our Christ. So they could be filled anew. Jesus knew that he needed to instruct the disciples, these apostles, in more righteousness. That was his desire. And this morning it's the same for you and I. We need our place of rest. As I already mentioned, this morning can be a place of rest. And it's one of the reasons why, for instance, this morning as you come in, you knew that this church service was going to unfold pretty much the way it's unfolding. We began at 9:30 and so on. We had songs, we had Sunday school class, we have a message now. And so you didn't give much thought to that. There is, and it's one of the reasons why we follow mostly an unchanged order of service. Because in the orderliness and the known sequence of events, we can focus on rest and worship and our own needs. I think that's wonderful. Now, if we feel this order becomes sacred, and that then we're probably taking it too far. That's not the point. But to have order here in our assembly, to have that, allows this service to be a desert place for us. It allows us to focus, and it becomes a place of quietness and rest. And I believe that this service should be that. I believe there are times when the truth confronts us and it doesn't feel too restful. But you and I both know, as we allow our hearts to be softened, as we say, "Yes, Lord," we just discover some more rest. And we're strengthened and we're encouraged. And so that's what I believe that we see in this, that Jesus desires that we could be rested. You see, rest is more than just relaxed muscles and tissues, but it's a rest of the heart and a rest of the mind. It's knowing that my life is right before God. It's knowing that there is a communion between me and my Heavenly Father. He desires that we could be rested. Jesus knew the turmoil and the questions inside of his disciples' heart without them even being able to tell him. And he said, "We need to get apart. We need to rest a little while. We need to talk. We need to share." You see, our places of rest are found in where we are at peace with ourselves our life in Christ, and with those around us. That's a place of rest and security. And I believe that if we are going to be able to face the test of the day, the test of the press that's around us in our society, we are going to need to enter that battle from a place of rest. We need to enter that battle from a place where our tank is being filled up again. And some of the greatest men, what little I have read of evangelists and men who have done a great work for God, there were some things that they did not allow to affect their schedule, regardless of all the good calls upon their life. And that was a time, a desert place to be filled up. Brothers and sisters, I find that a challenge in my life, because the pressure of life and my need for what I believe is some sleep can just infringe upon that so easily. Well, how long should we rest? He says here, come ye apart and rest a while. A while is an ambiguous word. It's subject to interpretation. How long is a while? Well, it may be short or it may be long. But a while always means that it will come to an end. Jesus isn't just saying, come apart. You all did some good work now, so pull the plug. You know, it's someone else's turn. He says, I want you to rest for a while. And then it's understood that we would come back. Christ desires us back into the field. Well, he goes on to say that there are many. There were many. It goes on to say that there were many coming and going. And Jesus knew that the only way he could accomplish what he wanted to do was to take them out of that environment. And I know that my brothers and sisters in Bangladesh, as they go there and live there and serve, there are times when the gate gets pulled shut and it gets locked. The door gets closed, and now's our time for worship, for revival, for renewal. And there is no end to the coming and going. And I'll tell you what, our lives are the same way. We're facing it in a little different way, but there is much coming and going. And so what are some of those things? What are some of those things in our lives? What do you think? What's some coming and going? What is much coming and going in our lives? Well, it may be people. It may be our business. It may be our good deeds. It may be our children. It may be wonderful church programs. It may be our age of communication. And so there we are in our quiet place, and suddenly the alert goes off. A major news event. Oh. And so there it is. The coming and going doesn't end. And it can interrupt and cut into our lives. Unless we are willing to cut off the coming and going, we are not going to be able to experience rest in the desert place. And I think, are we willing for it to become that quiet and still? See, we find some comfort in that busyness, in that interruption, whatever it is, and are we ready for it to get that quiet and still? Well, he goes on to say, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And so Jesus understood for them to receive proper nourishment and to keep a healthy equilibrium, they needed to have the leisure to enjoy this in their lives. And brothers and sisters, we also should recognize our need for healthy leisure, to find physical fulfillment of our needs. We need that. We need our sleep. We need our rest. We need our food. And Jesus was recognizing that here. And many times, we all know that leisure time is abused in our culture. We recognize it. We recognize that it's abused in our own fellowship, in our brotherhood. As we have personal convictions and as we look on to others, we say, well, all he wants to do is fill in the blank. And so we can react to that. We need to be careful that we don't react and fill our lives so full of good things that we no longer have the leisure to eat. Apply that word eat for whatever it is. I'm not just talking about the food that we have downstairs here tonight, but this afternoon, but this understanding that we need a balance of of nourishment into our lives. We need this rest, and we need this food, and we need it into our lives. Well, we need to understand that we need to simply take care of the good and necessary things to press on in this battle. Well, how did it all work out for them? Regardless of our good intentions and our efforts to find our rest and to be able to experience a desert place with God in our lives, there's going to be times when it gets cut off. And this was one of them. If you'll notice here, you continue on verse 32. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of the cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And when Jesus came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were sheep, not having a shepherd, and began to teach them many things. And so what I picture happening here, and what appears to have happened, it says they outwent him. Somehow they knew that they were cutting up across the lake, and they were there. There was a crowd of people waiting to meet Jesus when he arrived, when he came out of the ship, out of that boat, and so he began to teach them. And the day was far spent, and his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the village, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." And so I think what we see here, again, if we understand the flow of this story and the need that Christ saw in their lives, I believe that there was some... I think maybe I could just say it this way. I really do believe the disciples just wanted to see these people go. Send them off. Hey, they don't have food here. Just send them off. Tell them to go off to the villages and get something to eat. And we know the account where Jesus said, "Well, how many loaves do we have?" And we know the account of them breaking the bread. And that amazing miracle that the disciples participated in providing food for all of those people. It was a tremendous manifestation of the power of God. And they gathered up all these little pieces, and they had 12 baskets left over and so on. And then he told the disciples, "Get into the ship and let's move out." And he sent them away, and Jesus departed into the mountain to pray. And it continues on that as he was praying, he saw them toiling for rowing, for the wind was contrary about them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And the other record in Scripture records that this is where Peter said, "Well, if it's you, ask me to come out of the boat and I'll walk to you." And he did. Anyway, and he got into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Now, the other account in John says that as soon as he got into the ship, they were immediately to where they wanted to be. But here were this miracle that had happened. Here was Jesus, and he stepped into the boat, and the wind was calm, and the disciples wondered and were amazed. I wondered why. What was so amazing about this? What was so different about this than all the miracles that had just happened and the miracles that they themselves had done? I mean, after all, to say, to cast out a devil and to say, "Be thou healed," and someone's healed, it's all the same thing, isn't it? And as they were, it goes on here, and it says in verse 52, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Why? It's an interesting account. Their heart was hardened. The apostles, they were amazed and confounded at what Jesus had done here. And it says the reason they were is because they never even saw what had happened back there with the people. Why? I think is a question that we can ask. It just goes on then to tell the account of them coming into the land of Gennesaret. But I had some thoughts about that. I do have some thoughts about that question, why. I think it's a fair question to ask, and I think it's one that we could try to answer. And I believe it was because the disciples missed all of that, because they really did need a desert place. They really did need a place of rest. They really did need a place of recovery. They really did need a place of nourishment. They really did. And as they didn't receive it, Jesus, being the man who he was, who was of the same probably physical state, was able, by the power of God, to continue to serve the people and to teach them many things. And then to say, no, now we've got to take care of their physical needs yet before we send them off. And when he had got that all done, he sent the disciples off. And there they were, huffing and puffing. It says they were rowing, they were having difficulty, they were fighting the elements. There was frustration in their hearts. There was an emptiness in their hearts. There was a hunger in their hearts. And Jesus went off to pray. And he prayed, and he received that nourishment, and he was able to come out, and he was able to minister to his disciples again, and they missed it. And this morning, I think it's very possible. This morning, that's why we need to relish the rest and the nourishment and the coming apart. We need to keep doing that. We need to be able to keep. There is only one way that there can be living water that will flow out of our lives. There's only one way, and that is to keep coming apart. That is to keep coming apart and resting. That is to keep coming apart and praying. That is to keep coming apart, and then we can see it when God feeds the 5,000. And then we'll understand why this same God, this same Christ, can just calm the waters and make a way that we didn't even see, and we'll understand it. That's because our hearts have been softened. That's because our hearts have been softened because we're in that communion with our Christ. And so that's my prayer this morning. This morning, this week, these revival meetings are going to be busy. But I believe they also can be a place of rest, a place of nourishment. And let's allow God to accomplish that. And somehow we may need to cut out some coming and going. We may need to. Our paychecks may just look less this week because we realize that this is what we need. And our hearts will be softened and we'll be ready to see what God is doing in our own lives and in the lives of others. God bless you. And if you haven't found that place of rest yet, that desert place since the busyness of this past week, you have the rest of this day of rest to come apart and to rest a little while. And allow God to touch your heart and your life. Let's kneel together for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you care enough about us that you are able to even show us in your scriptures how we should manage and how we should relate to each day of our lives. We thank you, O God, that we have been shown how that we do need rest and that we need nourishment and we need to come apart and we need to be able to be in communion with you, to find our rest in you. We thank you for brothers and sisters that we can gather together in a place of rest. And I pray that we would treasure this. I pray that we wouldn't feel guilty about this, but that we understand if we are to see the next work that you will not only do in our lives, but in others, that next miracle, our hearts must be softened because of our coming apart with you. And so help us, O God, to see this. Help us to walk in this. Thank you for the opportunity to come apart with you in preparation for this message, to find a place of rest. In the travail of preparation, and to find a place of rest to gather together with, and to be in communion with you. Thank you for the opportunity to not only pray to you, but to have the Spirit of God minister into our lives. And I pray that while this week we may not see bread and fish being broken to 5,000, we're going to see spiritual food broken and miracles accomplished in your name. And so I pray that as we go from this place, we would go, that we would
to be willing to seek out a desert place, wherever that might be, and to be softened up, and to be ready to minister to those who we come in contact with. Bless each brother and sister here. Guide us and direct us. May your will be done in this assembly. May your will be done in this city. And may your will be accomplished in this world, across the lands. And I pray that you would help us to be prepared to work in whatever capacity you have for us this week. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.